Praise the Lord Jesus. This is Thurman Scrivener with the Living Savior Ministries. Let's come to the Heavenly Father in prayer. Heavenly Father, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, as sons of God, we walk boldly into the throne room, just like you told us to in Hebrews 4. We come boldly into the throne room of God today, Lord, to worship you and praise you and to give you praise and glory and honor. Because we're sons, we're partakers of the divine nature, and we want to just worship you and praise you and thank you that you're our Lord and our God. We thank you because of what Jesus did for us on the cross 2,000 years ago. We can literally walk right into the throne room of God anytime we want to and bring our petitions because we're sons and daughters. Lord, we praise you now as the word goes out today, as we talk about who we are in Christ. May you reveal to us more and more about who we are. And I just give you all the praise and the glory and the honor in the mighty name of Jesus. Now, as we continue to talk about the Son and who we are, I want you to know that, as I've talked about, we are being sons and we're being part of the Godhead, members of the Godhead. Nothing can ever dim the fact that infinity separates the Creator from the created. There's just no two ways about it. Christ is the eternally unique and only begotten Son, the brightness of God's glory, and the express image of His person. But from all eternity, God purposed to have a family circle of His very own, not only created, but also generated by His own life, incorporating His own seed into them. Now, long ago, even before He made the worlds, God chose us to be His very own through what Christ would do for us on that old rugged cross. Now, in order to obtain this personal, organic family relationship, God conceived this infinitely vast and infinitely wise plan of creation, plus redemption through the new birth, in order to bring many sons to glory. And to think we get to be part of that. Far from the very beginning, God declared that those who came to Him should actually become like His Son, so that His Son should be the firstborn with many brothers. Now then, in other words, Christ is the prototype after which all other sons are being fashioned. Now in John 1:12, we learn that the plan of redemption was inaugurated to set up a unique and original method by which these many sons would be born and progressively disciplined by a sanctifying process in order to bring us to glory. But as many as received Him, to them gave He the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, who were born not of blood, not of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. That's in 1 John, or it's not 1 John, that's in John 1:12. Now here is a distinct reference to two parallel generative methods, one human, the other divine. In and through Christ alone does God realize and fulfill His parental longing for a generic family relationship with us. But for this plan, God's family relationship would have been forever confined to the Trinity. Think about that a minute. Think about what He has done for us. I know that we have not realized who we are in Christ. I run into so many people that are Christians, that are depressed, that never have a good day, because they don't know who they are in Christ. They've never spent enough time in God's mighty Word to absolutely learn who they are in Christ. Sons and daughters of the King of the universe. We're joint heirs. We are partakers of the divine nature. We're sons of God. You know, if you've ever, you know, I was an engineer. I've done done a lot of different things in my life, but I have a fairly good education, and I've designed and built quite a bit of equipment and different things and buildings and all kinds of things over my 40 years out here in the workplace. I'm now 63 years old, and I think about the things that I've built and just designed them. You know, as you build and design a prototype, that prototype is first designed, you handcraft it, and you test it before it is committed to the assembly line. In other words, you have to make sure this thing is flawless, that it's going to do everything that you want it to do, that it's going to be safe and everything. Now, after you get that prototype handcrafted and tested, then and only then is it committed to the assembly line. And then you also know that the purpose of the assembly line is to produce exact duplicates, perfect copies of the original. Now, this is God's purpose in the plan of redemption. Now, I want you to listen very closely to what I'm going to say here. God's purpose in the plan of redemption is to produce, by means of the new birth, an entirely new and unique species or exact replicas of His Son, with whom He will share His glory and His dominion, and who will constitute a royal group of people and form the governing and administrative staff of His eternal kingdom. Think about our position in eternity. Now, while we recognize the infinite distinction between the eternal Son and the many sons, which is us, born into the family, yet such is their hierarchy as the results of the new birth that He recognizes us as bona fide blood brothers. Now, according to 1 John 3, that is just what we are. True, generic sons of God, and therefore blood brothers of the Son of God. Now, Christ, of course, is the divine prototype after which this new species is being made. We are to be exact copies of Him. Think about that. You know, As I have taught these things from the Word of God, and as I begin to walk in just a little bit of the magnificence of who I am as a born-again Christian and what I can do, when I begin to see this, there's a lot of people in the church don't believe God's Word. Of course, I used to not, but I'm getting to where I'm trying to do this now, because when I realize that I am to be an exact copy of Christ, a true type, I'm to be exactly like He is. Now, as sons of God, begotten by Him, incorporating into our fundamental being and nature the very genes of God, we rank above all other created beings, and we are elevated to the most sublime height possible, short of becoming members of the Trinity itself. Now, think about that. Although Christ is a unique and only begotten eternal Son, yet He does not retain His glory for Himself alone, for He has declared, "The glory which Thou gavest Me." Now I want you to think about this scripture in John 17. "The glory which Thou gavest Me, I have given them." He's talking about giving that to us, His brothers. "Therefore, the redeemed will share His glory, His rulership, and His dominion as truly responsible princesses of this realm." Can you grasp that? That we're going to reign and rule with the Lord Jesus Christ as kings and priests and queens and princesses? Can you really take that in? Now, when you begin to understand that, you will understand that this means that God has exalted redeemed humanity to such a magnificent rank that it is impossible for Him to elevate us any further without bringing us into the inner circle of the Godhead itself. Now, in Christ, we have been accepted into the very bosom of the Father. And by virtue of our union with Christ, we are accepted upon the same terms as He was. And as bona fide sons, generated by the very life of God Himself, as full-blood brothers of the Eternal Son, as members of His body, of which He is the head, and as Spirit of His Spirit, how can we ever be brought nearer? This mystery has been happily expressed to us through the Word of God. Now, if you want to think about this magnificent verse that the Lord wrote for us in Psalms 8, think about what He says there. What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him little lower than God, according to recognized authority. Now this is the correct translation, since the term used in the original Hebrew here, where some translations will translate that word, made us a little lower, made him a little lower than angels, but in the Hebrew the word is Elohim, the first of the names of deity. Now you got to realize that he was made just a little lower than God. Now this brings us to such dizzy heights as to merit the charge not only, of illusions of grandeur, not only do we think about who we are, but God has exhausted human language to open our eyes to this immensity of His plan for the redeemed. There's just no two ways about it. It's virtually, when you go over to 1 Corinthians 2:9, this scripture is absolutely awesome. It says, "Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love Him." But in verse 10, he says, "But to us He has revealed it to us by His Spirit." So as you begin to walk into the Spirit, you will finally begin to get a hold of who you are in Christ and what you can do, because He will reveal it to you by His Spirit. Now I'd like to ask you to call me at 940-242-2106. I have many audio and video tapes on all these teachings in their entirety. 940-242-2106. Or you can get us on the web at www.tlsm.org. And I'd like to invite you to our church every Sunday afternoon at 10921 Shady Trail, North Dallas. We start at 2 to 4 p.m. That's the name of the ministry. The name of the church is the Living Savior, the Living Savior Ministries, and we would love to have you come to our church every Sunday afternoon and worship and praise the Lord Jesus with us every Sunday. Praise His name.